You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. Today we will be speaking with Dr. LaWanda Rivora, President and CEO of the PACE Center for Girls Incorporated. The PACE Center for Girls is the only statewide organization in Florida serving at-risk girls. In the last decade, Dr. Rivora has built this model program for girls and brought its annual budget from $900,000 to $18 million. She is viewed as a national expert on girls in the juvenile justice system, and she has also founded a national advocacy network to improve the juvenile justice system for this population. She is a consultant for the Health and Human Services Office of Population Affairs, Adolescent Family Life Project, and the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention. She was the recipient of the Child Welfare League of America 2002 Anthony Grupo Memorial Women's Leadership Award, and she serves as a consultant on issues of gender-responsive programming, management and leadership training, and legislative advocacy for nonprofits nationally. Today, she will discuss the needs of girls in the juvenile justice system. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Dr. Rivora.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're very excited to have you today to discuss this issue. First, I wanted to start by maybe addressing what the research is saying about the number of girls coming into the criminal justice system and why they're there, why they're coming in.
One of the things that we know is happening, our nation right now is struggling with a very grim statistic. Girls are making up the fastest growing segment of the juvenile justice system, and a couple of years ago, the American Bar Association and the National Bar Association released a study. It was called Treatment Alternatives for Girls in the Juvenile Justice System. And in that report, they actually cited this escalating rate of girls entering the juvenile justice system as a national emergency. And what has been found is there's been an 83% increase of girls' delinquency cases over the last decade. And the preliminary research and data is really painting a picture of a juvenile justice system that has failed to meet the needs of girls and young women. And what we know is the reason that girls are entering the juvenile justice system is this pathway has been paved by victimization. The research indicates that as much as 90% of the girls who have entered the juvenile justice system have experienced prior victimization, sexual abuse, physical abuse. We also know that girls who are in the juvenile justice system, up to about three-quarters of those girls have been victims of violence themselves prior to entering the juvenile justice system.
Wow, those are some pretty, like you said, grim statistics. what would you say, you know, knowing some of that and having the research tell us that, what would you say might be like the three most important things that a juvenile justice agency or a facility director or even the staff supervising girls ought to know or understand about girls?
The first thing I would say that people need to understand is really this link between involvement in the juvenile justice system and the prior victimization, and to understand that we have to develop programs and services that are really designed to meet the developmental needs of girls, as well as addressing the trauma, the post-traumatic stress disorder. And because girls have such a higher rate of victimization and trauma in their lives, they also present with higher rates of post-traumatic stress disorder, suicidal behavior, dissociative disorder, as well as borderline personality disorder. So we have to address that, those psychosomatic issues that girls bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Also need to recognize that girls are incredibly resilient, and they show remarkable capacity for change and for growth if they're provided the opportunity to be in a safe, nurturing environment. And so the second thing that I think is so important is to recognize that we have to first have safety as the number one priority and to create safety zones, that nurturing safe environment where girls can begin to explore and address the victimization and the trauma issues that led them into the juvenile justice system. And the third issue that I think is really important is that we recognize the other issues that girls grapple with self-esteem. We know at about age 8, it becomes a real turning point for girls, and up until that age, they are self-confident, they're typically full of enthusiasm, willing to take risks, and at about age 8, they begin to recognize that these images that are portrayed in the media, that they are bombarded with of what they should be, doesn't always match maybe their physical appearance, and so girls' self-esteem just plummets. So we have to address the self-esteem issue. We have to recognize that just in the general population, 1 out of 4 girls are grappling with depression, and that depression is often linked to the abuse, but it's also linked to girls' body image, and you know they're struggling with. 7 million girls in this country are struggling with eating disorders. So we have to understand those developmental issues and not only the victimization issues, but also how girls perceive themselves in the society that they're growing up in.
Well, it's a complicated group of people, but worth understanding. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about what the PACE Center offers to girls and the kinds of programming it has.
Well, PACE is a private, not-for-profit organization. We have 19 centers throughout Jacksonville, and we're really designed to be gender responsive and to take into consideration all of the developmental issues that girls face growing up in today's society. We have 9 guiding principles that are really so important to our work. And those principles, the first principle, for instance, stresses honoring the female spirit, and that's creating that safe, nurturing environment for girls. We are an education program because we know school failure is another major risk factor for girls entering the juvenile justice system. So girls come to us, they're able to earn their middle school credits as well as their high school credits and go on to graduate from high school and then go on to college or vocational training. But to support that education component, we have a full array of social services that includes counseling, clinical services that address the unique needs of girls. We also have our care management, which works with the family through home visits, connecting the girls to the community. The girls participate in volunteer projects as a way to give back to the community, so they select their projects, everything from volunteering at homeless shelters to reading to children in low-income daycare centers. Mm-hmm. We also provide 3 years of transition services. Once the girls leave our day treatment program, we provide them with 3 years of services to help them to be successful in their placement, whether it's college or vocational training.
Wow.
PACE has also developed 2 signature programs, our Spirited Girls curriculum, which is a curriculum that was written with girls, and it's about girls. It really is about honoring everything that's right about being an adolescent girl. It teaches the girls everything from how to care for their health to how to fix the motor in their car, car trouble, so that whole nuts and bolts piece of how to be independent young women. And the second program that we've developed is our Spirited Singers curriculum. And that curriculum is really designed to help girls grapple with their spiritual component. And we know that often because of the challenges that girls face when they come to PACE, that they can be spiritually disconnected. So through the Spirited Singers curriculum, they learn 7 spiritual tools from meditation to visualizations. And these tools that will help them to develop principles for ethical living.
Oh, Oh, wow.
It's a really exciting part of our program, and it helps the girls to go and reclaim their center. And we know that that place deep inside the girls' hearts and souls, that they really do have the answers and they have wisdom, but oftentimes they've built so many walls around them to protect themselves, they forget that wisdom that's at their very core.
Wow, those sound like great programs. A note to our audience, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Lawanda Rivora about girls in the juvenile justice system. Dr. Rivora, I wanted to ask you sort of on topic but a little bit deviated question about some new legislation in Florida that has to do with gender-specific programming, and I was wondering if you could talk about that legislation and maybe also how the PACE Center was involved in its passage.
Well, we welcome the opportunity to talk about it. House Bill 1989 was passed last legislative session here in Florida, and Florida is the second state in the country to pass legislation that requires our state to provide gender-specific services for girls in the juvenile justice system. And that was sponsored by Representative Ellen Bogdanoff and Senator Rod Smith in our Florida legislature. And in addition to amending Chapter 1985, which is our juvenile justice statute, to require gender-specific services to girls, it also called for a study by the Office of Policy, Program Policy Analysis and Government Accountability, which is an independent research organization that provides information to the Florida legislature. And they're now looking at all of the services in juvenile justice that provide programs to girls to determine if they are gender responsive and is there an alternative to incarceration for the girls who are in the deeper-ended residential programs. Could they be served in non-residential, less expensive programs in our state? And also to look to see if there's a cost differential in serving girls, mm-hmm. services that we need.
That sounds like a great sort of boost to what the PACE Center has been doing for a long time.
It actually is, and we were really instrumental in writing the legislation and advocating for its passage in the Florida legislature. But it's important to note that Oregon is the first state to have this legislation. Florida is the second. Mm-hmm. And it really comes as a result of the reauthorization of the Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention Act in the federal government, which happened in 1992, that mandated for the first time in our country's history, gender-specific services for girls in the juvenile justice system. So this takes it to the state level to now have our state follow through with what the federal government started doing in 1992.
Great. My final question for our live talk today is, in terms of the future, what do you foresee happening for programming for girls? And do you think that there should be certain efforts made nationally to raise awareness of the differences that girls present?
Well, I see that certainly we're continuing to see this escalating trend of girls entering the juvenile justice system, so there must be an immediate and urgent response to the needs of girls and young women. And I think it's important that each state make a commitment, just as Florida has done, just as Oregon has done, to really recognize the special needs of girls and to also recognize their strengths and the consequences of not addressing this issue. When we're going to see more girls ending up in the juvenile justice system, we'll see higher rates of teen pregnancy, which we know is connected to girls in the juvenile justice system, and we lose these precious years for girls. So I think it's so important that each state make that commitment. I think it's also important in the future that we continue to make a commitment to research so that we know who the girls are, we understand what their needs are, and then we can translate that research into real practice at the local community level to help girls reclaim their lives.
Well, that's very eloquently put. Thank you so much. That concludes today's live talk, and thank you again to Dr. Lawanda Rivora for joining us today to discuss this topic of girls.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, and also thanks to our audience for tuning in. To learn more about girls in the juvenile justice system, be sure to read this week's articles on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.